Well, it's good to be with you. Just to introduce myself before we have the scripture reading, my name is Alistair. I'm married to Karen. We have three children, a son who's grown up and he's a maths teacher in London, a daughter who is studying up in Yorkshire, and a late arrival in life, a 10-year-old daughter. We live in Lichfield, which I always kind of think of as the opposite end of the cross city line to you guys. I think you're on the other end, right on the very end of the cross city line, aren't you? Well, Lichfield, we live right next to the station on the very opposite end of the cross city line. We attend a church very similar to this, a lively evangelical church in Lichfield, where I'm part of the community there. My wife is teaching in Sunday school there this morning, but it's a real privilege to be with you. My background is I was in ministry for many years in different places. South Africa, you probably detect the accent. I was a pastor in Italy, where I used to preach in Italian to a community up in the north, the northwest of Italy. And I've more recently was in ministry in the UK and now, of course, in ministry with Release International. So that's a little bit about me. A real privilege to be with you today, especially as it's only 46 minutes drive from my house. Sometimes I'm in Newcastle upon Tyne or places like that, very far. But great to be with you. Listen now to the scripture reading. Thank you.
We're reading from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Endure hardship as discipline. God is creating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
Well, listening to everything that was said this morning, it's almost as if you preached my sermon already, actually. A lot of things were said that really applies to persecuted Christians. A lady shared a word here about how, despite the fact of having chemotherapy, you made the effort to come to church, even though it took some effort. Can I just say to you, people today, Christians around the world would give their right arm to have your seat in this church today. They would give their right arm. And some have literally given their right arm. I was in Nigeria recently and met a young man who was their community was attacked by a Fulani Muslim herdsman. And as they went into his house, they killed some people, some of his family were killed. But being a young man, just 19 years of age, they thought, well, we'll give him a chance. And they said to him, look, if you convert right now on the spot to Islam, we will spare you. If you don't, we will chop off your limbs one by one. Archbishop for Jos. Now, I've been in evangelical circles all my life. I've moved in evangelical church circles. And I've often heard it said, you know, oh, well, they're a wishy-washy Anglican. Can I tell you, Archbishop Ben Quashie is the least wishy-washy person I have ever met in my entire life, and he is Anglican. He's had three attempts on his life. His wife was brutally sexually assaulted by Islamic terrorists. Three attempts on his life. He doesn't know if when he leaves the building, the compound where he lives, he's going to be shot or blown up. And there's a book on the back table I put there called Neither Bomb Nor Bullet. And the reason it's called Neither Bomb Nor Bullet is neither bomb nor bullet deters this man from his faith. His honor, he's determined, utterly determined, an elderly gentleman, he must be about 65, 66 years of age now, determined to stand up for his faith, no matter what the cost. So when your pastor says, fight for your family, fight for your community, can I just say, many would give their right arm just to have your seat and to be able to worship freely as you do. You can leave this building today without fear of being followed or without being attacked. I was in a church in Nigeria recently where when one day the worshippers were gathered on a Sunday, they're probably meeting right now actually in that village. The time difference isn't that great between the UK and I think it's an hour's difference between the UK and Nigeria. They're probably worshipping right now. And while they were worshipping one day, the Muslim extremists came to the church, poured petrol right around the perimeter of the church and set it ablaze. And, you know, in the roof, between the tin roof and the brick walls, there was straw to kind of, you know, just to seal the gap. And that caught fire. Smoke was pouring into the building. But you know what happened? The church community found a door, led out into a thorn bush. And the Muslim people hadn't seen that particular door and hadn't put petrol there, and they managed to escape out of that building. But I was in that church. We preached in that church just a few weeks ago. Rebuilt the ceiling. The walls used to be pink, but they're now black with the smoke of the fire. All the pews had to be replaced. But they were back in their church. And you know what happened after that building was set on fire? They used to get about 200 in the church on a Sunday. It's now 500. 500. Because nothing can break the spirit of Christians who are determined to worship God and who have God in their hearts. You know, I was a pastor in Italy, and I remember one Easter Sunday morning, standing in front of the Colosseum, and I was a young pastor, and somebody said, Pastor, there's some English people here. There were coachloads of tourists from England. Tell them about, give them an Easter message. And all I could think of saying was, we are standing in front of the building where Nero, Emperor Nero, threw thousands of Christians, fed them to the lions. Why? Because they said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord 2,000 years ago. Jesus is Lord today. And Christians are paying a huge price for it. Sometimes it results in martyrdom. Sometimes it results in persecution. Not being able to get a job because you're Christian. Not being pushed out of your village because you're a Christian. Being attacked because you're Christian. Being intimidated. Being intimidated because you are a Christian. And you know what effect that has on people? I met a young Chinese student at the Keswick Convention last year. And she was part of the Chinese underground church. And she said, you know, The one big difference I notice between Chinese Christians, the real Christians, the ones who stand up for their faith, those that are persecuted, she says the one difference I notice is that we have fire in our bellies. That was the phrase she used. We have fire in our bellies. We are passionate about our faith, and we are prepared to take the risk of being an underground church for the sake of Christ. And she said, you know what makes me really sad? You know, Britain, which actually brought Christianity all over the world, she said, there's too many floppy Christians. She was an English literature student, and her English was fantastic. And that's the phrase she used. She said, there's too many floppy Christians. Christians who don't stand up for what they believe. Christians who don't put their backs into it. Christians who don't fight, that was the word you used, fight for your community, fight for your family, who don't fight for their faith. Just going to give you a 5-minute video to show you some of the situation around the world. Have you got that video clip? 5 minutes, it says who we are, tells you a bit about Release International and our ministry around the world. Just watch this video quickly, thank you.
You, not my body, I don't boast with my sufferings. I will show you the tortured body of my fatherland and of the underground church behind the Iron Curtain. Just look here.
Hello, my name's Paul Robinson, and I'm CEO of a Christian ministry called Release International, which for more than 50 years has been called by God to love and serve persecuted Christians. Statistics vary, but it's reckoned that more than 300 million Christians around the world are being persecuted for their faith in Christ alone. Not for any crime, but for following Jesus. I'm currently visiting project work and enjoying fellowship with persecuted Christians and their leaders in East Africa and the Horn of Africa. I'm here to listen to them, to hear their needs, to pray together, and to understand how we can serve them best. I'm honored to serve Release International, and today I want to tell you something about who we are. This Christian ministry was established in response to the life, suffering, and witness of Richard Wurmbrand, a Romanian pastor who spent a total of 14 years in communist prisons for his uncompromising faith in Christ.
5 in the morning until 10 in the evening, 17 hours a day, we had to sit just like this. We were not allowed to lean. For nothing in the world could we rest a little bit our head. To close your eyes was a crime. 17 hours a day you had to sit like this and hear. Communism is good, communism is good, communism is good, communism is good, communism is good. Christianity is stupid, Christianity is stupid, Christianity is stupid. Nobody more believes in Christ, nobody more believes in Christ. Give up, give up, give up. These days, weeks, years, we have to listen to these things.
His book, Tortured for Christ, first published in 1967, opened many people's eyes to the fact that Christians are being persecuted in shocking ways and on a massive scale. Richard's challenge to all Christians was straightforward. In Tortured for Christ, he wrote, "I tremble because of the sufferings of those persecuted in different lands. I tremble thinking about the eternal destiny of their torturers. I tremble for Western Christians who don't help their persecuted brethren. In the depth of my heart, I would like to keep the beauty of my own vineyard and not be involved in such a huge fight. I would like so much to be somewhere in quietness and rest. But the quietness and rest for which I long would be an escape from reality and dangerous for my soul. The West sleeps and must be awakened to see the plight of the captive nations." Release International's ministry continues to respond to that provoking challenge. Today, we love and serve persecuted Christians by raising their voice where you are in the UK and Ireland. And with your help, we give them the tools they need to live for Jesus Christ. We do all we can to call Christians like you into fellowship with them, to learn lessons of Christian discipleship with them, and always seek to maintain Christian stewardship by building the ministry and its work on solid biblical foundations. We're active in many countries, always working through trusted Christian partners on the ground as they provide prayerful, pastoral, and practical support to Christians suffering persecution, ranging from discrimination, intimidation, violence, torture, and imprisonment right through to murder, which we should call martyrdom for the sake of Christ. Our work is as varied as their needs and is designed to help families of Christian martyrs, those who are imprisoned for their faith and their families, Christians who suffer ongoing oppression and violence, and Christians who are forced to flee. At the beginning of the final chapter of the book of Hebrews, the writer urges Christians to keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. And then the writer urges us to continue to remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. We can all begin to fulfill those words by praying for our persecuted family and by giving what we can to support Release International in its calling to love and serve persecuted Christians around the world. We are grateful to you. God bless you greatly as you love and live for Him.
That's my boss, Paul Robinson, and I was with him in Nigeria just recently. And we prayed, we wept with people who had been through terrible experiences. We were actually at a trauma healing workshop paid for by Release International, run by our partners in Nigeria. And this workshop ran for people who had been utterly traumatized by the attacks that they had suffered. Bear in mind, 6,000 Christians were murdered, martyred in Nigeria in 1 year alone last year. 6,000 Christians. But for every one Christian that is martyred, there are many, many others that are maimed, that are traumatized, that are living in fear of their lives from attacks. One of the people I met was a strapping guy. He was a pastor of a village church. Now, he's one of these guys that, you know, looks like he was born as a rugby player, you know, really big, hefty, solid-built guy, really big and muscly. And he was a pastor of a church. He was a pastor of a church in a village, and one day the attackers came in. They killed four of his congregation. They stole all the villages, basically his community's cattle. They attacked homes. And they took the pastor hostage, kidnapped him with a gun to the back of his head and took him away. And they realized that the biggest damage they could do, I mean, if they killed the pastor, somebody else would step up and be the pastor of that church, no doubt. They realized that the biggest damage they could cause to the church was to keep him hostage and to demand the biggest ransom possible, impoverish the church. For his release. So they did that, demanded a ridiculous ransom that for a poor rural community like that was really, really hard to pay. And the church, the members sold things, sold their goats, sold their chickens, came up with the money. It was put into the bank account of these attackers. But the pastor was not released. The Muslim folk decided, got greedy and decided, well, they've come up with this amount of money. Let's ask for an even bigger amount. And the pastor was kept captive for months and months. And during that time, he was tortured. And every single day, they threatened to chop off his head and to kill him. And he lived for months with those threats hanging over him. And he said, you know what sustained him, because we had a prayer campaign going for that pastor. Stephanus, which is our an organization we work with in Nigeria, had a prayer campaign. He said, you know what sustained me was the prayers of Christians. It sustained me. But he said, you know, I came back to my community and I thought I was okay. But every single night I woke up feeling a gun pushed into the back of my head and heard the threats going on. And he said, you know, ultimately I had to acknowledge that although, and he said, you know, I'm able to, because as a Christian and because of my faith, he said, I'm able to forgive my attackers. I'm able to forgive those who did these terrible things to me. But he said, despite that, I cannot get the trauma of what happened to me out of my head. And there he was receiving assistance from a trauma healing workshop run by our partners. And I just sat there, put my arm around this big strapping guy, Pastor Monday, his name is. I would have thought Pastor Sunday would be better for a pastor, but anyway, Pastor Monday, yes, big strapping guy. Put my arm around him, we prayed and we wept. And, you know, he said to me later, he said, you know, God is healing me. God is healing me. He said, I want to be, my congregation have paid a huge price. He was talking, of course, in the cost of having their pastor back, but he said, a huge price in other ways, and I just want to be everything that I was before this attack. I want to be everything, and I said, and God will make it happen. God will heal you. God will take those fears, those thoughts, those worries, those things that wake you up at 2 a.m, those fears and anxieties away, and God does heal, doesn't he? God does heal. The scripture says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. And those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. You know, sometimes we sang that lovely worship chorus to start this morning. I can sing of His love forever. And sometimes we can sing that quite glibly, can't we? We can just sing it because that's what we do. The worship band gets up and we, you know, we give it some welly and it's a great worship chorus. But you know, for some people to sing of God's love carries a huge cost. And we must remember them. We must remember them. We must pray for them. Another story is told of a pastor who worked for a sister organization of Release International. He went into Sudan. I was in Nigeria capturing footage and stories of people who had been persecuted. I spoke to so many people afterwards. My head was just full of some horrific stories of what had been shared with me. Some horrific, horrific accounts. And I sat and I listened to every single detail of quite a number of people, all these thoughts. But this pastor in went out with Voice of the Martyrs for the Czech Republic, one of our sister organizations. We are called Release International. Wherever you found our organization abroad, it's called Voice of the Martyrs. And Voice of the Martyrs sent him out to Sudan. And in Sudan, he was capturing the persecution of Christians, how they had been attacked and all the rest of it, a bit like I was doing in Nigeria. But what happened is he got to the airport. On his way back to the UK, can I just tell you, I'm the only one that's, I am Alistair Duplessis. All my colleagues have to use pseudonyms because the countries they go into, you know, they have to be protected with pseudonyms and they don't travel in their real, they don't work for Release International. I'm the only one that works in my real name. So I am who I say I am this morning. But all my colleagues, and he had a different identity with VOM and his real name was different, and they managed to crack open his computer, you know, got through all the security in his laptop, the secret services of Sudan, and he was sent to prison. And while in prison, he was tortured. They put him in a cell with ISIS terrorists, and the ISIS terrorists, they waterboarded him, and they tortured him, this pastor. And then the Sudanese government put a death sentence on him, said, you're going to die. And he tells the amazing story of how when he was in that prison cell, at his worst, being waterboarded, wondering if he was going to die at any moment. He had a young wife in Poland, newly, you know, he was a young guy, wondering if he was going to die. He said all he could hear was right around the world, Christians were praying for him. And he said he felt the weight of hundreds of thousands of prayers. And he could hear them. He could physically hear the prayers. That's all he could hear. And he said it's like as if God took him out of that torture out of that torture and lifted him up and gave him a glimpse of the face of heaven in that hell that he was in. So pray for Christians. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in our own worship and what's going on in our own lives. We've got to accept that there are a lot of people who have it a lot worse than us. You know, there nearly always is somebody, isn't there? No matter how, what bad circumstances you're going through, there's going to be somebody in the world who or has it worse. Let's face it. And Christians who are being persecuted are going through a horrific time. I'm going to just put up a slide of Pastor Wang Yi. I think that's slide number 3. There he is there. He's the leader of Early Rain Covenant Church. He was arrested with around 100 members of his congregation. When the secret police come in to arrest pastors, they take almost the entire congregation as well. The entire congregation was arrested. He was convicted of inciting state subversion and illegal business operations. What did the pastor do wrong, in actual fact? Refused to shop members of his congregation to the state security services so that they would be harassed and arrested. He refused to do that. He refused to preach the amazing wonders of the Communist Party, which is what they were telling him to preach. He refused to put up next to the cross of Jesus, you know, a picture of the founder of communism in China and the current leader of China. He refused to do it. Interestingly, isn't it? The last time there were two people on the side of the cross, on either side of the cross, you know who they were? The thieves. Anyway, there we have it. He refused to do that. And here he is languishing in a prison. And his family, not just himself, anybody who is connected with him is being harassed, monitored, followed by the government. So it's not just him. The next slide is a guy called Zafar Batty. He was sentenced to life imprisonment for sending a blasphemous text message. And you know what that blasphemous text message was? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the blasphemous text message that was sent. A charge that he denied. He said, how can John 3:16 be blasphemous? How can it be a text full of hate when all it's talking about is love? Zafar Batty got life imprisonment for that message. And in early last year, his sentence was increased to death. Early last year. Others as well are suffering. If we can go to the slide of Dr. Kiflu in Eritrea. Imprisoned without charge since 2004. And you know where they're imprisoning him? It's in a container in the desert so that absolute maximum suffering can be inflicted. And he's been in that container since 2004. That's his prison in the desert. Dr. Kiflu from Eritrea, imprisoned for his faith. And you know what I rather suspect? They probably said, well, if you want to be released from prison, you've got to give up your faith. And if he said, I'm converting to Islam or whatever, he would probably be set free. The fact that he's in prison since 2004 tells me that he has not given up his faith. Remember these people. Remember these people and your support today of Release International. You're inviting me here to bring something of their suffering into your midst. I mean, it's a difficult subject. One church pastor said to me, you know, we only do happy in this church. You're coming with a really gloomy message. People are suffering in the world. I'm not sure that belongs in our church. So I said, well, actually, What do you do on Good Friday? Because Good Friday is Jesus suffering the most horrific death on the cross. Do you just skip over Good Friday and go straight to Easter Sunday, the happy bits, you know, the resurrection? What do you do when people are suffering in your community? Do you not pray for them because it's gloomy? There's gloomy things happening in every congregation. There are people who are going through a hard time. Do you not talk about it? And he said, actually, you've got a good point. He said, you know, do what you have to do and we'll just pray that God will bless your message. God wants us to think of those who are suffering. Remember them. Remember them. Remember them in your prayers, as it says in Hebrews. And it makes a difference. Pray as well. If you put up one of my other slides pray. Pray. Make it a matter of prayer. Because these people are out of sight doesn't mean they should be out of our minds. Out of sight shouldn't mean out of mind. And you know how you can stay, how they can stay in your mind, in your prayers. Sign up to receive our prayer mailings, Release International. There are sign-up cards at the back on the table as you go out. Sign up. Could be just emails. Could be physical paper copies of it. Receive our magazines. Find out what is going on in the world with persecuted Christians. Have a look at the map that's in your other room there to see where persecution's happening, because it's not just in China or Nigeria and the places I've touched on briefly this morning. It's happening all over the world. Stay aware. And when you are aware, you can pray. And can I tell you, prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference because people have told us when people pray for us, it changes things. We felt the power of prayer. So many people who are being persecuted have told us they feel the power of prayer, which is why it's also important as a community that you pray for each other. Fight for your community, fight for your family, also pray for them as well. And can I just say, who is your community? You might just think it's this church here. Can I tell you, anybody who is a Christian is your community. The reason being, we are all part of the body of Christ. We are all part of the body of Christ. And when one part suffers, all of it suffers. We might have it easy in the UK, but we have other problems. I think one of the very wise things that Archbishop Ben Quashie said to me, I spent a lovely day with him in his offices in Jos. And one of the things he said to me, he said, you know, here in Nigeria, Christians are facing persecution. And he says, that actually makes us quite strong. He said, in the UK, Christians are facing seduction, being drawn away from the church, being drawn into material things. Sometimes I think on Sundays, it's a fact, there are more people shopping in the malls or whatever, doing other stuff, than worshipping God Almighty, the living God, in church on Sundays or online or whatever way they do it. Seduction. Persecution, seduction. It's a different thing completely, but that's what Ben Quashie said to me. Pray. Pray also for not only for the persecuted church, but also for our church in the UK, which is really, I think, going through a difficult time in many ways. Just pray that God's will be done in this country, abroad. And thank you for your support of Release International. Can I tell you the amazing work that's going on around the world because we, like that pastor, receiving counseling and help and a week-long workshop to help him come to terms with his trauma. That's obviously paid for by people like you supporting the work of Release International. So thank you for giving to this cause. There is also donation envelopes at the back. If you want to gift aid your donation, you can do that. But I would ask you, more importantly even than that, remember those who are suffering. Pray for them and pray that God will keep them strong. You know, you never know. One day, I think the revival might happen elsewhere in the world, and we might need those people to come and evangelize us, as the young Chinese lady said, that we've got the fire in our bellies. I do pray as well that the fire doesn't go out in yours. May God bless you, each one.